The marks of a thankful heart. 10 signs that you ate too much at Thanksgiving. Number one, the doctor tells you your weight would be perfect for a man 7 feet tall, 17 feet tall. Another inclination, you ate too much at Thanksgiving, that it has been determined by the federal government that you are personally responsible for a slight but measurable shift in the Earth's axis. Another one, paramedics bring in the jaws of life to pry you out of your lazy boy. Another indicator that you ate too much at Thanksgiving, the potatoes you used for your consumption set off another famine in Ireland. You received a sumo wrestler's application in your email the day after Thanksgiving. Another reason, you set off 3 earthquake seismographs on your morning jog Friday. Another reason, pricking your finger for cholesterol screening only yielded gravy. Another indicator that you ate too much at Thanksgiving, you consider gluttony your patriotic duty. Another reason, representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame called you twice. Lastly, idea that you ate too much at Thanksgiving, your bathroom scale groans and then asks how many people are on the scale. Well, if you haven't known it already, Thanksgiving is this week. Family, food, and football are on the menu, and not necessarily in that order. Turkey, stuffing, potatoes, and pie are all expected to be consumed in copious amounts, only to be followed up by later snacking as the evening whittles away. Though we gather together to celebrate Thanksgiving, we have to ask, do the activities of eating, socializing, and celebrating with others really point to the fact that we have a thankful heart? Does your favorite team winning the football game bring you real and true lasting joy? Does having your family over and being stressed about hanging out with others you tend to avoid every other part of the year mean that everything is right in your life and that you truly are thankful? To some level, people do find Thanksgiving at Thanksgiving. Yes, I said that. People actually find Thanksgiving at Thanksgiving. But not everyone knows what it is to have a truly thankful heart to the Lord. So today we're going to look at 4 marks of a thankful heart in the Lord in the hopes of trying to differentiate between what is being happy with what is being happy with what is a deep thankfulness to the Lord. So please look with me on the outline that I provided for you. On it has all the verses necessary for today, just as a way of proclamation or some kind of tipping of the hat. They're all out of the New American Standard Bible. They're all quoted from there. So let's look at the first one as we consider Thanksgiving. A thankful heart towards God is first a singing heart. A singing heart. 2 Samuel 22:50. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. Nehemiah, later on in the history of Israel, 12:27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. And Psalms, where you're going to find a lot of this, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre. Singing generally points to a heart that is, well, content, a heart that is thankful. When I was a young man, my dad was kind of known as the guy who hummed and singed everywhere he went. I don't care where we were, what we were doing, or how embarrassed I got, my dad would start humming in the store, then start singing in the store. And though the store wasn't the size of our supermarkets today, they were still good in size, and I could hear my dad on the other side of the store singing. I had one of the kids from high school who I knew actually looked at me one time and says, "Your dad's the one that sings as he walks through the store, isn't he?" Now, to a teenager, that was quite embarrassing. To a teenager, that wasn't something I wanted to hear, that my dad was the singing guy that you find at the grocery store. And by the way, my dad loved to shop in his former life before he became a pastor. He was a grocery man. So the one thing my dad truly, thoroughly, like it was a sport, enjoyed was going to the different stores throughout the region and walking through them and taking a look and analyzing what they're doing right and wrong in his opinion. I mean, if he could have put out a flow chart, he would have told you where they were getting this right and that wrong, because that's how much he really liked grocery. I don't understand, but everybody has their little thing. My dad's was grocery. Well, one of the things he did too is we'd be driving around in the car and he'll just start singing. The problem is my dad couldn't carry a tune to save his life. If you knew my dad, everyone was welcomed in our choir. My mom got us all going. I mean, I was in the choir at 12 years old, singing away, bass actually. My dad wasn't allowed there. That tells you something. My dad would not be allowed to sing. So when we consider singing, singing isn't necessarily a heart that is looking to be in tune, but with what it is to be right in sound. But singing is a heart that just has an overflow of thankfulness. I remember years ago when I was at my second church, I was walking around doing what my dad did, sang. I was in the kitchen singing away a song about going off to heaven. It was a Chris Rice song. I was enjoying it. And Michelle comes up to me and she says, "Are you really ready to leave?" My wife at the time, Michelle, we had three little children at the time. She didn't like the idea of me talking about dying and going off to heaven. But, you know, when you have a heart that's thankful to the Lord, you can't help but sing. We find in Scripture, by the way, I could have filled this entire sermon with just the singing passages. That's how many you can find in Scriptures. The natural outflowing of a thankful heart for God. For God not just being God, but for revealing himself, for drawing us to him, for condescending to us so that we may know him. That is a thankfulness that just comes out in song. Scripture tells us that we should sing a new song unto the Lord. Singing is just a byproduct of what it is to know that we are right with God and that we are truly thankful for all that he is and all that he does in our life at any given moment of the day. Singing is something that we do because we can't help ourselves. Singing is something we love to do because we love our Lord. And though we may not be able to carry a tune correctly, we are going to proclaim from the heart a song that just exemplifies who our God is to us. It's an outpouring. So let me encourage you to not hold back in this part of your life. I know some of us may be more of singers in the shower than in the car. And those of us may be singers in the car, but not at church. And some sing well at the church, and we wish we could sound like them. Well, it doesn't really matter how you sound when you sing when it comes to God. God loves the fact that your heart is just so thankful that you cannot help but sing out to him in song, whether it be words, whether it be humming along to a tune that you know, or just simply having this singing heart mentality about you. Let me encourage you not to hold back this kind of love for the Lord. A singing heart is something God takes great delight in. And so no matter what others say, good or bad about your singing, a heart that is thankful heart, that sings out to the Lord, is always in tune, and it is at the heart that God is pleased with most. Not only are we to be individuals at Thanksgiving, to have a thankfulness about us, as we have hearts of singing, but a thankful heart towards God is also a proclaiming heart. These aren't in order, and by the way, I could probably give you 30. I'm only giving you 4 today because, well, it's Sunday, and I know you guys want to go home at some point, so I only limited to 4 today. But when we look at this, a proclaiming heart to God, 1 Chronicles 16:8, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name." Here it is. "Make known his deeds among the peoples." There's your proclamation. Make known. Psalms 26:7, "That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders." And Psalm 107:22, "Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing." Proclamation is also the sign of a thankful heart. And when I mean proclamation, I'm not saying proclaim whatever you feel like proclaiming. What it is the proclamation of the wonders of God and how he has treated you, how wonderful he has been towards you, how wonderful he is in his own majesty as he has revealed it to you. There's an individual in our history, in America especially, who is known for being the proclaimer of the word of God, maybe as much as anybody else in his time and maybe in the last 100 years. And his name is D.L. Moody. Though his theology wasn't always spot on, his heart always was. You know, he was a man who loved the Lord greatly. And when he came to know Christ as his Savior, he made no hesitation in proclaiming the news of Jesus to anyone and everyone he could talk to. As a guy from New England, he eventually found his way out to the Midwest. And as he lived out in the Midwest, one of the things that he was known for doing was going down to the local river and into the dregs of the city and literally dragging people into church. It got to the point where every Sunday he would reserve the first 2, 3, 4, or 5 pews for the people he was going to personally bring into church to hear the gospel singing. Because at that time, D.L. Moody didn't think he was called into pastoral ministry or even into evangelism. He was just doing the work that he thought every Christian ought to be doing, and that was proclaiming Jesus to everyone who would hear. A thankful heart is the heart that just reaches out from the love of Christ within him or her to share the gospel message, to proclaim the wonders of God and the wonders and excellencies of his name. Now, not every one of us can be a D.L. Moody, can we? I mean, there is the fact that we're all gifted differently, and evangelism can be a gift among the believers. But even though we may not have the gift of evangelism, we still have a thankful heart to proclaim. You see, that's not a gift, that's a mandate, to share the love of God, to share the gospel of Jesus with those who will hear. That's the commission given to all the followers of Christ in Matthew 20, at the end of the chapter, as he shares his, 28 verses 19 and 20, where he shares the commission to go out into the world and tell the good news, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So not every one of us can be a D.L. Moody, but each of us can be individuals who are so thankful to the Lord that we can't help but, we can't help ourselves in telling others about our love, about Jesus. For how can we remain silent when the Lord has done so much for us? How can we ever keep our mouths closed if Jesus has done as much as he has for us? If all that he brought to us was the salvation necessary to enter in eternal life, that would be enough for us to proclaim his greatness to our dying day. That would be enough for us to declare his goodness for eternity. But Jesus doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just stop at giving us salvation. He doesn't just stop at giving us a right relationship with God. No, Christ gives us more. He gives us even more than we could ever hope for or expect from God. He shares with us his blessings. And basically, in a Thanksgiving idea, he loves not to just give us the pie, but he likes to also give us a gigantic portion of ice cream and whipped topping to go with it. You see, he gives us what we need and then gives us more. That is our God. That is our Savior. And that, too, is worthy of worship and proclamation. That is worthy to declare to the world who is ever around us who Christ is to us. Christians ought to be the most thankful individuals in the world, for Jesus not only brought us eternal life, but he brought us an eternal right relationship with the Father as well. Anything and everything beyond that is extra. We know what extra is, right? We know that extra that we can get. I know that me, as a Scotsman who descended from the Scots, I love a good deal. I can't help myself. I've had to actually train myself not to utilize all the great deals I see out there. I don't know about you, but you know, when you see that, hey, buy 3 boxes of cereal for $10 and I only need one, I buy 3 boxes. I gotta refrain myself from getting that extra, for getting the deal, the 2-for-1 deals, although I can't help myself on those. I start buying stuff because we all want the extra. But when it comes to Christ, it's just something that comes with him. We don't have to go the extra mile to get the extra. He automatically grants it to us as part of the blessings of being the children of God. What a wonderful thing it is that the Lord has given us so much. Let us proclaim his excellencies to those who will listen and those who will hear. Well, as we continue on, a thankful heart towards God is also a worshipful heart. We see in Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. And Psalm 116:17, to you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Each of those point to the reality that we are to be worshipers of the God Almighty that has revealed himself in his word. You know, it's one of those things that sometimes we forget, though it is a wonderful thing, that human beings are made in the image of God, and we are. That's what separates us from what the angels are. Angels are not made in the image of God. We are. Thus, in that image, we enjoy a level of what it means to be autonomous to some level. We understand what it is to love, and we understand right and wrong to some level. We have within us a certain understanding of things because that image of God is imprinted on our DNA. But one of the things that we sometimes forget as Christians, especially, is that as individuals, we were not just created to exist, but we were created for a reason. Much like the angels were created, we're created to worship. Now, the angels who were created first, before us, they were created to be in the presence of God in heaven itself, and in the realm of what is heaven. As we think of the kingdom of God and understand the nature of what it is between earth and heaven and what hell is, and we recognize it's another dimensional aspect that God works in and lives in and exists in and constructs and has. But the material realm is what he created for us to exist in at the moment. And yes, at the beginning with Adam and Eve, we were placed in a garden to worship with him. But because of that free will aspect, we had a moment where we could choose to honor him or dishonor him, to love him or love ourselves, to obey him or disobey him. And because, the first disobeyed him, the rest of us do also, which, trust me, we would have done what Adam and Eve would have done if we were them then. We would have chosen what they chose, because that's in our human nature. So God, in his infinite and excellence, yes, he put the angels in his presence for immediate worship and service. He placed us in a garden, and we immediately did not worship him. Look how fast that happened. Yet we lost this over the generations since then. We, like Adam and Eve, who were placed in the garden to serve and tend to it and worship with God and commune with him and be with him with nothing in between, when they chose not to do that any longer, when they chose to sin, they found what separation is, and we somehow, on a deep level, have missed this in our DNA, that we, as much as we're created in the image of God, we were created to worship him. All of God's creation is a creation to worship him, whether it be angels or man. Creation itself, as we think of heaven and earth and the stars and the animals and everything that is within them, it worships and proclaims God too in its way. Everything points to God in worship. And so when we look at these passages and we understand what a thankful heart is a worshipful heart because it is a heart that has been brought back into a right relationship through the blood atoning work of Jesus with the Father. A worshipful heart. Many of you know that I grew up in Manchester Baptist Church. My dad being a pastor, I got to see a lot of individuals. Well, there was this one guy who came into our church by way of another couple. His name is Charlie, and I know I can use Charlie's name because Charlie's that kind of guy. I love Charlie. I've known Charlie since I was a kid. I've known Charlie since, well, I used to tell, Al knew me when I was shorter than him, right? Well, Charlie was almost, but Charlie stands this tall anyway, so I don't know if I was ever shorter than Charlie. But Charlie was the kind of guy that came into the church and He found immediate love and acceptance of our church. He heard the gospel preached and immediately latched on to the gospel. Now, Charlie was one of those guys, is one of those guys, because he still goes to Harvest Baptist Church. His heart just knitted itself to God. And when he came in on Sunday morning, I mean, this is one of the first individuals I ever met that actually waited and anticipated and desired to be there on Sunday morning. This was his Super Bowl every week. He was totally jacked for the moment. He loved the idea of coming in and studying God's Word and coming together and singing praises. And yes, Charlie was immediately put into the choir. And he just loved the Lord. And I could tell you, I remember standing there as a young man growing up, I watched Charlie every week. There he was, the first or second pew to the left of my dad, who was pastor. And you would see him not just raising his hands and back and forth and dancing in place, but he'd be bubbling. He'd be just jiggling and up and down and excited and just moving. We nicknamed him Tigger. He wouldn't stop bouncing every time we saw him. He just loved to worship. That's how, you know what? Charlie hasn't changed. You go to Harvest Baptist Church, and there he is, the second set up. He's right there raising his hands and bouncing up and down. And Charlie's no spring chicken anymore. But he's still doing it. He's still loving it. He's still worshiping God. Well, you know, now I have to give this as a caveat. As many of you know, to the opposite of expression is someone like myself. I don't mind occasionally raising my hand. I'm more comfortable with it than most people, I think, who are like me. But I don't naturally raise my hand. As a matter of fact, if you catch me on most services and everyone's doing this, my hand is in my pocket. I don't know why. It's just the way we are. So let me caution you, from basing any idea of what worshipfulness is or the heart of a worship based solely on outward emotional expressions. There are many ways that we can worship. You know, when we think of the worship aspects, Abraham offered Isaac up on an altar because God commanded him to. He was worshiping God. When we see Noah coming out of the ark, and the first thing he does is worship God. David, when he finds out that God is going to build him a lasting house, he goes and sits at the Ark of the Covenant and says, "Who am I, O Lord, that you take notice of me?" And he worshiped God. You find time and time and time again different ways of worship in Scripture. We can do it with singing. We can do it with preaching. We worship through teaching. We worship in our studies. When was the last time that you were stuck in your corner of your house studying the Word of God and you in prayer have been moved to tears? That's worship. Reading God's Word, worship. Running along in the car, listening to, Christian songs, and singing along with them with no embarrassment of what others might think. Well, today it's not so bad. Many might think you're on a Bluetooth anyways, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, you could go and sing, and maybe you hit that song where in the middle of your driving you're moved to tears because you have been emotion of just praising God at that moment. Worship comes in so many forms, doesn't it? And it comes in so many ways. You go to Africa and they're dancing in the aisles like it's a rock party. You go to England and everyone's sitting there, stoic. You go to other parts of America and it's the same. It's different wherever you go. So let us be cautious about judging others or even ourselves by the way in which we emotionally or non-emotionally express ourselves regarding the things of God. You see, a worshipful heart is a positional thing, not necessarily only an expressional thing. Did you catch that? A worshipful heart is a positional thing, not necessarily an expressional thing. There are a lot of people who are emotionally driven people, and they might express a moment of true joy, and then, like Scripture says, when the world comes in around and crushes them out, they disappear and they're no longer to be found among the people of God. So we got to be careful how we look at someone emotionally expressing worship versus somebody who may not ever express anything emotional, because it's a positional thing. It's a result of what we understand that our position before God is. We who are thankful recognize a God who has made himself clearly known to us. Oh, let that sink in for a moment. There was a time before Christ where the majority of the world did not know who God was. There was a time before Jesus where only the Jews had the scriptures. And all the Gentiles of the world, which was probably 97% of the world, did not know God. Wow. But now, 2,000 years since the time of Christ, the Word of God is all over the world. And now, because he has revealed himself to us, we can be positionally right before him. And does that not move in us to worship him? When he has revealed himself to us, when he has revealed his righteousness, he's revealed his holiness, he's revealed his greatness, and shown to us that we were separated by him from sin, but he has given us a way through Jesus Christ, his Son, to be right with him. Does that not move us to worship our God? It ought to, and it isn't. It's done in so many ways. Oh, a thankful heart is a worshipful heart. But lastly, a thankful heart is also a joyful heart. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 95:2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And Psalm 101. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all. Wow. Real joy. You know, joy is something more than just happiness. We often sometimes cross definitions in our society and we apply certain meanings to words that don't belong to them. I was looking up a word last night. I was thinking of the word pedantic. I was thinking about some kind of subject matter. I went, boy, that sounds pedantic. When I looked up the word pedantic, which means just being nauseously accurate and showing how smart you are and your book knowledge, I went, boy, I was way off on that word. That's not exactly what I meant at all. We got to be careful how we apply meaning to words, because it matters. Happiness, as Pastor Al has mentioned in previous sermons, happiness is also has the root word for haphazardness, right? You can have moments where circumstances and chance can bring upon you a certain set of things in life that bring about an emotional response of happiness or extreme disastrous pain. Haphazardness versus happiness. There's a difference between the two. And we recognize that at both, the center of the word is hap, meaning circumstances, basically. Joy does not come from circumstances. Now, happiness can, or misery can, but joy is actually something that is given to us in spite of what's going on around us. That's an amazing thing when we stop and think about it. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Joy is there. It's a fruit that's given to us by way of our acceptance as the children of God through the regenerational work of the Holy Spirit. Joy is something given to us. It's a fruit that is produced in us, not by us, not for us. It's something we're given. And it supersedes whatever is going on, right or wrong, in your life. Now, we all recognize, though, that happiness kind of goes along with joy a little bit, don't we? But how about the joy in the midst of pain? Have you ever had that? Because that's a fruit given to you. That no matter what trial or tribulation or frustration you are going through, whether it's the loss of a job, the sickness of a child, the difficulties of child rearing, no matter what it is that comes against you, you can't pay your bills, you can't make it this week, this month, this year, no matter what it is, Happiness is a result if everything's going right, but joy is a result no matter what's going on. Do you have that joy in you? Well, that's what a thankful heart is. It's a heart that sees the joy that comes because God is still with us, no matter what we're going through. And in life, some may see that more than others. It's just the way life is. Not all of us are given the same set of cards to play with. Not all of us come into the world the same way. We come into different families. We come by way of different socioeconomic positions. We come in from different countries. We come from different things, almost like other planets altogether. But to each of us who come to know Christ, no matter where you come from, no matter what you are, no matter how good or bad things, joy is something that we have no matter what is going on, because we are connected through Christ to God our Savior. We're connected to God the Father. It's a joy given. There's a story about a Russian countess. She accepted the Lord Jesus as her Savior and was open about her testimony. The Tsar at the time was displeased and threw her into prison. After 24 hours with the lowest level of Russian society, in the most miserable conditions imaginable, he ordered her brought into his presence once again. He smiled sardonically and said, "Well, are you ready now to renounce your silly faith and come back to the pleasures of the court?" To his surprise, the countess smiled serenely and said, "I have known more real joy and more real happiness in one day in prison with Jesus than I have known in a lifetime in the courts of the Tsar." That's a person who experienced what joy is. True and deep and lasting joy, again, is not based upon circumstances, but on a right relationship with God. It's what we call shalom. It's the word peace, but the peace is about a right relationship. It's about joy, knowing that we are right with our God and that He accepts us. Charles Spurgeon said of joy, "There is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One dolorous spirit brings a kind of plague into the house. One person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes. But the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others." Joy. It is contagious. When you meet somebody who has the joy of the Lord, it's almost near impossible not to smile with them because they are so right with God in their joy. Well, as we finish up today and we think of Thanksgiving, this upcoming week is going to be one in which we'll be filled with a lot of activity, a lot of planning, a lot of shopping, a lot of cleaning, a lot of cooking, a lot of celebrating, a lot of everything. But let me encourage you, as Christians, that while you are doing all the necessary activity for the upcoming week, take time. Look at your life. Check to see if you show the marks of a thankful heart. Take time to sing unto the Lord. It's something that should come natural to you because the Lord has given you a new heart. Proclaim Him to others as the wonderful God He is so that others may know Him as you do. Worship Him. And that doesn't have to be only at church. That can be in a corner of your house when you're studying the Word of God and when you're praying. It could be when you're talking to other members of the family or simply just being yourself in the presence of others. You can worship God in many ways in your life every day. Worship Him because He is the one who has saved you from sin and death. And then make sure that you are expressing not just happiness, but that you have a true joy in your heart. For when we express a heart of joy in these ways, we demonstrate our faith to all who are watching us. Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know the joy of the Lord? Do you know what it is to be right? Do you have a thankful heart to your God? If not, receive Christ unto salvation today, and you will know that which the Christian is given so liberally by his Savior. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this upcoming week, Lord, where many of us will be able to slow down in our life and just be able to enjoy what it is to celebrate that which you have given to us so freely. And Lord, let us be mindful of your presence in all that we do and everywhere that we go and all the activities that we're a part of. As we enter into this time of year, Lord, where we have not just Thanksgiving, but Christmas is around the corner from this period of time, let us begin to set our hearts before you today. Hearts that are anticipating not the commercialization of this time of year, but what it is to be right with you, at peace with you, one with you. Because ultimately, Lord Jesus, we know that this is your season. We know that this is a celebration of who you are. No matter what else the world is doing, for us Christians, this is about your first coming. This is about you emptying your glory and coming into this world. And what more should we ever be thankful for than the fact that you gave everything up that you may call a people unto yourself Christian? Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we're your people, that we are your bride, and that you gave it all for us. And so, Lord, let us have the thankful hearts, not because it's imposed upon us, not because this sermon tells us to, not because of any other, not even because your word tells us to, Lord, but because of the disposition that we have with you in our hearts, that we are new creatures in you, Lord Jesus, and that we are right with God our Father. We are children of God Almighty, and that is truly worthy of being thankful for. And so, Lord, bless us. Guide our feet. Lead us where we go this week. And may we be the individuals that joyfully point others to you in our worship and thankfulness. Oh, Lord Jesus, be praised in all we do. Amen.